All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June the 22nd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. If you enjoy wind and rain and gloomy weather, which we have had for the last couple days, I usually don't mind this weather, but it is sort of in the beginning of summer. This feels like the end of summer kind of storm that we're having right now, but oh well, it is what it is. I've had a pretty good summer up to this point. Luckily, I've been involved in some activities, outdoor activities, which have allowed me to get some outdoor stuff going on in my life, which I am very grateful for. But yeah, today it's work and watch the rain, and which is fine. You know, I was coming to work this morning on one of the roads that I drive on, and there's a part of the road that's kind of scary. You know, it's kind of makes this weird turn, and it's sort of flat, and there's not a lot of banking, and I can always feel my car, like, if I'm going too fast, I can feel it kind of, you know, a little loose in the rear there, and so I always try to be very careful when I drive on that road, and this morning, there was a car flipped over right in that spot, so that spot's sketchy. The proof is in the ditch. Hopefully, everybody was okay. It looked like it was weird. I pulled up and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this picture, right? I'm looking. You know, it's funny how we, you know, look at everything every day and we sort of, you know, have an idea of what generally is supposed to be where it's at. And when you pull up to a scene and there's an actual, like, SUV in the field, you're like, wait a minute, that is not supposed to be there. So, and there was a bunch of people sitting on top of it. So I think, I'm hoping everybody was all right, but there was a whole shitload of fire trucks and ambulances coming, and I got out of there. So T's and P's to them. Hopefully they're all right. Coming down another road, there's another car in a ditch. So I don't know what's up with people and driving. But take it, you know, be careful, right? Be careful. I'm just as guilty. I am trying to be better at driving, right? I shared this the other day. It's that I'm a third, fourth, fifth thought kind of guy. Like, my first few thoughts are not usually great. And so I am trying to pay attention to that. You know, I feel like that's sort of that seventh step, right? Humbly ask to remove our shortcomings. Like, I'm falling short in certain things. And one of them is my patience with driving. One of them is just my patience, period, right? I was sitting on the couch the other night, and I just felt like my face looked like I was just furious, right? And I'm like, "What's your problem, dude? Like, what's your beef, right?" And I have no beef. I have no beef. Everything is great. My life is fantastic. My life couldn't be any better. And I just had this. I could feel this scrowl, smirky looking. I don't know. I just felt like I looked pissed. And I'm like, you got nothing to be pissed about, man. Just relax. What's your problem? So I need to lighten up, right? I'm trying to lighten up. And, you know, I was went to the meeting last night, great meeting. And my buddy spoke last night, did a great job. And, you know, his topic was, how are you working a program? Which is a great question. How am I working a program? You know, I've shared before, you know, the first time I was introduced really officially to AA was when I had gotten my DUI. And I remember the lady, you know, I think it was a 10-week course or something, and the lady was like, you, during this course, during this 10 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever it is, I'm going to ask that you refrain from drinking. And I didn't, right? I drank the whole time. I probably drank and drove, right? I was just the arrogance and the selfishness in how I lived back then was just disgusting. And so I remember, you know, confessing that I had drank the whole time and her not giving me my license back for another 4 weeks. But it was just I just look back at that and I'm like, that's just so gross. Just the behavior of me back in those days. But, you know, back in those days, all I cared about, actually, back in that day, back in those days, I didn't really give a shit about anything. But later, towards the end, you know, I would be, you know, I was really bummed that I was such a drunk driver, right? I would, every day, I'm not going to drink and drive. And every day, I would drink and drive. And so every day, I was just so beat up from it, right? So sad and disappointed in myself that, you know, it was just a rough time. So when I finally, you know, when I finally got sober, I was like, if I could just not drink and drive, I could call that a day, right? I'd be like winning, right? Because that was my biggest freaking problem, man. It was so stressful how much I would drink and drive and how much the battle between me not wanting to and then me doing it would take place. And I just continued to. And so when I got sober, that was the first thing that happened. I stopped drinking and driving, right? The alcohol stopped. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, right? And I stopped drinking and driving. And I was like, winning, right? I've said this before. I was amazed before I was halfway down the road, right? I was just in shock that I wasn't drinking and driving. And I think I probably would have been happy with that, right? But it turns out there is much more to being sober than just not drinking. You do. You definitely pay for what you get. But yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, when the question came up, how am I working a program? I sort of had to think about this. At the moment, I forget what I really shared, but when I think about it now, today, you know, I mean, when I came into the program, I needed to be reprogrammed, right? It's, people say, oh, it's a cult, right? It's a programming. I needed it. Well, how I thought and how I behaved and how I lived my life was terrible. So to try to sort of get reprogrammed, you know, I didn't look at it at the time, but I look at it sort of that way now. I sort of just kind of needed to be taught how to live, right? And so when you look at the first step, when we admitted we were powerless, you know, it was easy for me to sort of dance around in that first step. You know, as a self-centered person, I looked at it completely differently, but I was aware that there was a problem. When it became with me and alcohol, there was a problem, and I was ready to admit it, right? And then you look at the second step, when we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That power to me was the program. You know, I believed if I worked this program could save me. And I strongly believe that any sort of positive, humble action is the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. I hadn't done that, right? I did nothing humble, right? I did nothing. Everything that I did was about self. So that was working towards a lower program, a lower power. And so to start to believe that maybe this program can help me, right? I will show up another day. I will show up another day. Every time I showed up, that showed that I believed, right? Somewhere. Maybe it was a slice, a little bit. But I did believe me coming to this meeting might help me. And, you know, would later turn into, you know, a higher power. But I feel like sort of they're all sort of one and the same, right? Meetings are sort of like God, you know, working towards sobriety is working with the relationship with the higher power. To me, it's all sort of the same thing. And then made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. You know, this one was really cool because when it says made a decision to turn our will, right, our thinking and our lives, our action over to the care of a higher power. This was a big deal for me. I did not do this in the past. I listened to those Joe and Charlie tapes, and he, Joe or Charlie, one of the two, he really explained it really well, which was, you know, that our to turn our will, our thinking, good actions, bad thinking, bad actions. My whole life was bad thinking, bad actions. So to start to try to do better thinking, like, you know, I need to go to a meeting tonight. You know, in the past, I'd be like, I need to go to a meeting tonight, but I don't think I will. I think I'll do something else because I hate meetings, right? Or I don't want to get sober. But when I started to say, I think I need to go to a meeting tonight, and I'm going to go. Good thinking, good actions. Started to reflect in my life immediately. So that was, you know, early on, that's my program, right? You know, I admit it. I've got a problem. I couldn't really see any of this. It's easy for me to go through this now and kind of reflect and you know, give an idea of what I was going through. At the time, I didn't see any of this. I was just going to meetings and hanging in there. But, you know, it's a slowly a reprogramming, right? You hang out long enough, and you start to get a little on you. And, you know, but when to make that decision. And I just sort of learned about this third step while I was doing this podcast, right? I mean, I've been doing this program a long time. And when I finally listened to that Joe and Charlie tape where he says turning our will, our thinking, and our lives, actions, over to the care of a God as we understand him, I was like, oh, wow, that makes sense, right? I've had bad thinking and bad actions all my life. And so that was really cool. And then when you start to go through this, one thing I've learned about working with people in this program is it's hard to tell somebody that they're fucked up, right? It was hard for people to tell me I was fucked up, and it's hard for me to try to tell somebody they have a problem. I wouldn't do it, right? It's hard to do because, one, you know, it's not my job to tell people when they're fucked up, right? And for two, I remember it was hard for me to hear it, right? So it's a tough thing. But this fourth step where making a searching and fearless moral inventory, it allows us to kind of look at it, right? And so that to me was when I was working a program then, trying to go through this moral inventory, trying to reveal the real person, right? Because somebody can't come up to me and say, hey, Tom, you're just a self-centered asshole without any God in your life. I'd be like, that's not true, right? But it is true. And so doing this fourth step, you know, this moral inventory, you start to learn. I started to learn about myself, right? And then when you do the fifth step, when you sit down and share it with another person, you know, this is where the rubber hits the road. I shared this last night. You know, this is where I started to learn there was more than just me not drinking and driving, right? There's more to this than just the drinking part. There's the serenity part. And to me, this is where really the program, you know, I'm learning about this program. So step five, you know, we sit down, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs, which means we confess all of our sins to a human, right? And to God, and to ourselves. But you have to do it. And you have to relieve yourself, because up until then, you're just a victim of all your fucking stupidity, right? At this point, the fifth step, you can share it, find closure, have forgiveness, and move on, right? And then the sixth and seventh step, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. You know, this is where, and I've gotten better. I feel like I'm a pretty decent person. I know I have, you know, like I was just sharing, you know, this sometimes I just feel miserable in my spirit, right? And I need to stop and remind myself, hey, what are you doing? Like, I feel like the devil just sort of comes up and just sort of sits there in the couch. And I have to say, you know, hey, get out of here, right? You know, turn that frown upside down, Tom. And I don't know what it is. It's just sort of how I've built. I'm just built that way. I don't know why, but I'm just sort of, you know, I need to lighten up sometimes. But, you know, removing those character defects. You know, I talked about, you know, how I used to go pick up Matt and I'd have all my character defects out in all their glory. And then as soon as I saw or pulled into his driveway, I'd put all my character defects away in the glove compartment until, and then he would get in and I would act like I was this great character. And then as soon as he would get out and get back into his house, I'd pull all my bad character out of the glove compartment again. And so, you know, trying to, when we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, is when I stopped pulling them back out, right? I drove with my hands at 10 and 2. I had my seatbelt on. I turned the radio down. I didn't speed, right? You know, if you're ever wondering about character and character defects, you know, I like to imagine drawing myself as a cartoon character back in the day, right? What would that cartoon character look like? I've shared before, you know, but, you know, as a person that's trying to get better, I can look at that cartoon character and start removing some of those characteristics that are drawn into that picture and try to be better, right? And then the seventh step, where we humbly ask to remove our shortcomings. To me, that's just the last part, right? It's that 20%. Like, I've done 80%, but that 20% still, you know, is glaring a little bit. And, you know, I shared this recently that I just, you know, sometimes I get sick of having to go on the second and third thought, right? Because not my first thought isn't always great, right? You know, driving, I can be very short. I shared this in the podcast the other day. I can be, you know, I'm not always so nice on my first thought. And I would like to be better on my first thought, right? Still got to work. Those are shortcomings. I'm falling short and changing all of my character defects. Some of these character defects, I'm getting close, right? Still falling a little bit short. So I need to work on that. And then, you know, when you start working your eighth step, I talked about this yesterday, this list of all the people we had harmed. It was hard for me to see that. It's too self-centered. All I see is the harm that comes to me. And like I shared yesterday, it helped me to find a list of people that had harmed me for me to realize that digging a little deeper, in turn, I usually was the one that was harming. I just couldn't see it for the time that I was looking. Made direct amends to such people when possible, and except when to do so would injure them or others. You know, that's a big deal. Really cleaning up a lot of stuff. And then you get to the 10th step. And, you know, this is, to me, this is, you know, kind of working a daily program. You know, when you have the, you know, if you feel like you've done something or said something, you can make an amends right away, right? Because at this point, hopefully, if you say or do something that's sort of like our old character, usually it doesn't feel good, right? It usually doesn't set well in our heart, doesn't set well in our stomach. It feels bad, right? And so we usually need to clean that up. Maybe in the past, if that had happened, and if I felt that at all, I'd be like, whatever, fuck that person, right? Who cares? But the reality is I do care today. And so, you know, I pay attention to that. It was funny. I was talking to my father-in-law, and he is not an alcoholic. He is not in the program. He's just a normal person, right? And we were talking about something. He got all upset, right? I think we were talking about politics of some sort. And he got all upset about it. And I was like, you know, no big deal. I'm just sharing something I had seen. And, you know, it was fine. We hung up. But later on, he's like calling me, Tom, call me, please. I need to apologize. It was like, I call him. I'm like, you don't have to apologize. He goes, I just had a long day. I felt like I was short, and my reaction was not necessary. And I was like, yeah, no, that's cool, Jerry. No big deal, man. It's, you know, but I said, we don't want to lose the ability to communicate with one another, right? Politics has done that to us. Politics has now become everything about Trump and Biden, right? Or the border or Ukraine, right? That's politics. And it's not. Politics is policy. Policy is what we live by, right? And we should be able to talk to one another about it. Hopefully we don't lose that ability. But he called, he's like, I'm sorry. And it reminded me, he sort of did a 10th step, right? And it was cool. You know, I appreciate that. And he's not in a program. He just didn't like the way he felt about the conversation, which I thought was cool. And then, you know, sought through prayer, the step 11, sought through prayer meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Yeah, I do that all day, right? All day I'm meditating some sort of way, you know, not deep meditation, but I'm thinking, right? I'm reflecting. I'm communicating. I'm checking myself. I'm making sure I'm doing the right thing. And then the step 12, you know, having had the spiritual awakening and the results of these steps, we try to carry the message to the next alcoholic. That's what I do. That's my program today. So how am I working a program? I go to 3 meetings a week, the same meetings every week. I try to be there for the next alcoholic. I just joined a home group so that I can participate in taking some commitments for that group. I'm sponsoring a person, and I'm being sponsored, right? And so that's sort of how I work a program today. I've early on in my sobriety, you know, a lot of this is really foggy, and I was living in it, and I was living with it, but I'm not sure I was completely understanding it. And it just takes time, right? It just takes time. And for me, it's a lifetime, right? I'm constantly learning, and I'm constantly, hopefully, willing to learn. And, you know, it just doesn't end, right? It just keeps on learning. And when I think I have it figured out, more is revealed, right? You know, I was saying the other day about, you know, my recovery is like a puzzle. You know, a lot of the outside, the easy parts are easy to put together. You know, you can have a whole group of people, right? I remember when I first got sober, my parents were behind me, you know, my friends, right? Everybody in my group, it's a big group, you know, and you sit down at that puzzle and everybody can put a piece in and we can do the edges and do all the hard part. But over time, people start to, fade away off the puzzle table, and eventually it's just you, right? Or just me. And, you know, I'll walk by that puzzle and I'll be like, shoot, look at that piece goes right there. I didn't even realize it. It's been there the whole time. I just couldn't see it. And that's how recovery is, and that's how these steps are. You know, I go to a step meeting every week. I was thinking to myself, how many times am I going to read these steps? Forever. I'm just going to keep reading them. You know, more shall be revealed. I shared yesterday about the eighth step. I'm sort of just starting to figure that out, right? Because I've always felt a little bit like I've fallen short a little bit on the eighth step, because I just didn't feel like I had a lot of people that I had harmed. And I just all of a sudden had the revelation. You were so self-centered, you couldn't see it, right? You could not see all the people that you harmed. You know, I know people that are overly humble. I don't know if that's correct, but, you know, they're always like, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I apologize. You know, it's like, stop apologizing. Like, they're making if I asked this person, you know, that lives like that, a list of all the person they'd harmed, they'd probably have 10 pages, right? Because that's all they focus on. They're so, that's not healthy either. Right. You don't want to constantly be apologizing for everything that goes on in a day. You know, it's just living. And then you have people that wouldn't have noticed at all. Right. So that's how I was. I didn't pay attention to anything other than what I liked and in my world. So it's hard for me to pay attention to who's getting harmed if all I think about is myself. I'm sort of just realizing that, even though I've known I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. But I'm just starting to recognize how that played a role in my eighth step. And so when I started to look at the people that had harmed me, because I have a list of those, right? I shared some of it the other day. There's this chunk of people that have fucked me over, right? That screwed me over. But now I'm looking at it and I'm like, that was your fault, right? All of these things have been your own fault. This is me harming people that reacted badly and in turn made me feel like I had been harmed. But the reality is it was my fault. I had harmed these people. And so it just started to open up my list for my eighth step. And I've done the eighth step, right? I've done it. I've gotten it. My buddy Matt used to always say, it's always about willingness, right? It's always about willingness to keep looking, right? And I'm willing. I am willing to look and learn as much as I can. And that willingness has sort of opened my eyes to realize that I harm more people than I realized. A lot of people that were falling under a list of people that had harmed me really should have been on a list that I had harmed. And, you know, so I'm always, it just keeps going, right? Just keep learning. That third step turned our will, our thinking, and our lives, our action over to a higher power or a God of our understanding. I did the third step. I thought, you know, I didn't really understand it, to be honest. I'm like, okay, I got you. Sounds good, right? But when I listen to that Joe and Charlie tape, I'm like, whoa, I start to understand it more. And I've been doing this a long time. So just always got to stay willing to keep learning and, you know, keep that ego out of the way, right? The devil, the ego, because the ego will be like, that person screwed you over, right? There's always that voice that tries to talk you out of something, and especially tries to talk you out of being humble, right? When we really try to take a hard look at ourselves and realize what we screwed up on, ego doesn't like it. Ego's like, shh, keep it down. But anyway, so how am I working my program for today? I'm doing a lot of meetings. I'm working with other people, and I'm trying to share what I've learned if I can. I'm trying to share what's worked for me. I'm not telling people how to live. I'm not telling people what to do, but I'm just sharing what's worked for me. And I go to a lot of meetings, and I don't drink, right? And that's pretty awesome for me, at least. So let me read. Let's see what the Daily Reflection says here, and then I think I've got to go to work. Today I'm free, June 22nd. This brought me to the good, healthy realization that there were plenty of situations left in the world over which I had no personal power. That if I was so ready to admit that to be the case with alcohol, so I must make the same admission with respects to much else. I would have to be still and know that he, not I, was God. That's As Bill Sees It, page 114. I am learning to practice acceptance in all circumstances of my life, so that I may enjoy peace of mind. At one time, yes, I am learning to practice acceptance. It's humility, right? Acceptance, right? I am learning to practice acceptance in all circumstances of my life so that I may enjoy peace of mind. At one time, life was a constant battle because I felt I had to go through each day fighting myself and everyone else. Eventually, this became a losing battle. I ended up getting drunk and crying over my misery. When I began to let go and let God take over my life, I began to have peace of mind. Today, I am free. I do not have to fight anybody or anything anymore. That's right. Yeah, accountability, right? That is sort of me in that eighth step, because everything I saw was everybody else's fault until I took a humble approach, had acceptance, had accountability, and then I could start seeing what the truth was. And the truth was is that I had harmed more people than I had thought. And, you know, that's, I don't know if it kept me up at night, but I do want to be as honest with myself as I can. Or I definitely want to debunk my ego, right? Because ego is telling me it wasn't that bad. Yeah. Yeah, so check that out. Listen, I appreciate it. I hope everyone having a great day. I appreciate you letting me share, and I will catch up with you later. Bye. You pay for what you get. Everybody asks me how she's doing. Is she really all she says? Everybody asks me how she's doing since she went away. I say, surprise, surprise.